At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Visit thewaterworks.com to get started.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, here we go on a rando Tuesday. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, CB behind the glass. How we feeling, boys?
Feeling awesome like I'm the Miz. How you doing, big dog?
Outstanding. It's a good little start to the week here. We'll have Pat Murphy on, talk everything Buckeyes, bottom of the hour here at 12:33. Jeff Risden, our friend from the Draft Wire, in the meat in the middle of the sandwich at 1:33. John Daigle, a little fantasy stuff. He does the Establish the Run site, so we'll have him on at 2:33, see where these rookies fit in, how high are we going to draft Marv this year, and all that good stuff. I did see, well, we know the Lakers have been eliminated. No shame there when you lose to Denver. They lost by a bucket. I did see the mayor of L.A. tweeted out, tough season, but at least we won the in-season tournament.
Come on, man.
Proud of our team. At Lakers with a couple little heart emojis in the old purple and gold.
Hey,
old in-season tournament.
Hey, they were the first to ever do it, AR. I guess that's something to be proud of. They are going to be in the books of NBA history, the first in-season champion. Mm. Yeah, that's
whatever
that means.
Exactly. Basically, we won the crazy floor tournament or whatever they were doing.
No, those were disgusting. Some of them were okay. But the majority of the floor designs, that was a miss, a complete miss by the NBA. And then we had the Lakers, you know, hanging a banner for the in-season tournament.
Oh,
you and I were like, oh, yeah, I think we talked about it for a little bit.
Hung a banner?
My guess is that's a little push from the old commissioner on that for the first one ever in the NBA. Like, let's just not tuck that away in the closet and let it collect dust. You know, I'm going to make you guys put that out there, especially for a franchise that has so much history of winning championships. And just won one a couple years ago. Like, I don't know if Jeannie Buss in the front office of the Lakers were like, yes, let's hang the in-season banner next to the other ones. Like, I don't think that's the case. I think that was old Adam Silver pushing that agenda.
It was a little banner. It was a banner year, Matty. A banner year at the old Bender family. Got a carton of cigarettes. The old man grabbed me and said, hey, smoke up, Johnny. Yeah, that's weird for the Lakers to do that. I was starting to think about whether I would really pay LeBron $51 million to come back and do this again. And I'm not saying he can't. He obviously is going to load manage and be a great player still and perform and score his points and all that. It just feels like it's time to let this thing go. But the Lakers have to be like, who does that? And it's not like LeBron. I don't think LeBron is at the comeback and haunt me stage. He can certainly on any given night. But I don't feel like if you're the Lakers, like you're in a real problem right now because you just don't know whether do we give up on LeBron? You know, do we draft his son? Do we have that historic moment?
Yeah.
Do we want to be that brand or do we want to win again?
Well, that report came out last night, which I thought the timing of that was very interesting from The Athletic, that the Lakers are on board with potentially drafting Bronny, which is, you know, I think a nice little, you know, little moment for them to say, LeBron, we got this for you.
That's what dad would have wanted.
We got this contract we can give you. We're going to draft your son. Hang with us because he does have an option to go elsewhere. I don't think that's going to be the case because I think they're going to hit him with another massive 3-year deal. But to your point, it's more than basketball in some of these scenarios, right? It's putting butts in the stands and getting these nationally televised games and selling jerseys and all of that goes in to those contracts. But it's pretty odd right now when you look around the sport of the NBA, where we are in the postseason, no more LeBron, no Steph Curry, no Kevin Durant after they get swept out by Minnesota. It's like kind of the changing of the guard happening right before our eyes. You got LeBron, who's almost 40. Steph and KD are in their mid-30s. And these guys still have it on certain nights. But now you've got the Anthony Edwards and the Jalen Brunsons and the Jokic's of the world just taking over the sport, handing over the baton. The OGs are to the young guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you're running a business, you would probably say, you know what, we're not going to invest that much money in a 40-year-old star like he is, but for that. But maybe the Lakers just can't get out of their own way, because you have to believe. And Anthony Davis stayed healthy and he was good and all that. Maybe you parlay him into some, you know, into something good.
I mean, I don't think that's the move I would do. I think I got to hold on to Anthony Davis. I don't think I want to completely tear it down. But, I mean, LeBron this year still gave you 26, 7, and 8 as a 40-year-old man. So I don't think his game is not going to diminish at all. So I think if you did hit him with a good contract, he's going to pay off on that, on his side of things and what he's going to bring to the table. It's just, if you don't bring him back, what product are you throwing out there alongside Anthony Davis?
That's the other question. You're rebuilding.
And I don't think the Lakers are that type of team right now, especially with AD in his prime.
That's the tough part of it. How old is he?
I think he's 30.
Yeah. Listen, he held up this year. He held up. I'll give it to him. But sometimes that's the time to strike, you know. But I agree. Anthony Davis is probably not the guy, you know, you're going to move coming off, you know, a great season, certainly defensively. LeBron, like I said, you're going to get what you're going to get probably for the next 3 years. You're not going to just completely bottom out unless he gets injured, which he's been in, you know, very good shape. You know, he's obviously going to have his moments. And like I said, you'll have to manage that. But the other part of this is the Bronny thing. I mean, I know he was asked and he said, hey, I appreciate the question, but I haven't thought about my future. Of course you have. You know exactly what you want. And now you don't have to say it publicly now. But if the key here, and this is so weird, it's almost like LeBron is waiting to see what his son wants to do before he says what he's going to do, right? Like, what if he gets out of the draft and decides to transfer?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I don't know if LeBron right now really knows what he wants to do, because there's so many moving pieces, right? Like, how is the draft order going to align? What is my son going to do? What's going to happen after the postseason in the NBA? Is there going to be maybe another intriguing team available that I could hop on? What's going to happen with Kevin Durant in Phoenix? Like, there's so many moving pieces. I actually believe LeBron that when he was sitting there last night, he doesn't know for sure.
Doesn't know what he's going to do.
He's going to have options. And if a team like Philadelphia comes a call and a pair him with Joel Embiid and Maxey, I mean, that's going to be an intriguing option as well. But when it comes to the money, no matter where he's playing, it's going to be a hefty price for LeBron.
Well, what would be nice, well, I don't know if he wants to play with his son. I don't know if being close to his son, but if son did go to Duquesne, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden he's in Philly and I'm in Philly and you can play for Drew Joyce.
Cheesesteaks for everybody.
We can all just be together over there. But that's the interesting part about But my point is, I think he is now in a spot where he is thinking about his future, but it's tied more to his son, I think, than himself. I think he'd love to be in LA. I think he'd love to finish his career mm-hmm. there, but I think he does want to entertain this historic chance that he could suit up with his son on the same court and end his career that way.
I get it.
Who would blame him?
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. That would be really cool to suit it up with your fresh blood. Well, that's the other thing, too, is like, it doesn't seem like he is ready for that based off of what we saw last year, but it would no doubt in my mind be the Lakers doing Bron a favor. Like, they would be doing him a favor to complete what he sought out to do for years now, and that's come out of the tunnel with Bronny James. Because Bronny gets drafted by the Lakers, he ain't playing much.
Maybe
next
that's
year.
LeBron's last great leverage play. And maybe he doesn't even have to leverage it. It sounds like the Lakers might be willing to do it for him.
Right.
Because we want that moment.
No question. And they want those. I mean, could you imagine like how many nationally televised games they already have if you have Bronny and LeBron and the TV networks fighting over that? Like, it's just that's why you do it if you're the Lakers. The ticket sales would be through the roof.
How old is that kid? How old is that LeBron James kid? We get him out there to introduce
him. He's got
to
be at least.
Got to be in his 20s now.
I was going to say early 20s.
How long ago was that? It's one of the great little.
LeBron James.
LeBron James. We get that kid out there.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Get him a little deal.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about. By the way, there was the trade that never happened. Are we buying this? If you believe the report, the Vikings were going to go all the way up to 3 to get Drake May. The Vikings were willing to offer 3 first-round picks, but, and maybe this is the greatest thing that ever happened to them, it just wasn't enough for the Patriots to say, you can have Drake May. which is amazing to me. I thought the Patriots would be like, you know what? We think he's going to be really good, but nobody knows for sure. Yeah. Let's do this the right way. Let's take those first round picks. Let's regroup. Let the Vikes come up. We'll take everything from them. But if the Vikings offer the Patriots a package of three first round picks in exchange for number three, now they'd probably have to, they'd get a couple of mid round picks in return as well. But two of those first rounders were in this year's draft. So maybe that's what they thought. Well, they looked at this draft and thought, all right, if we slide back to 11 and 23, does that equal Drake May?
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2025 first round pick for the right to select May, and the Patriots probably said, you know what? We've looked at this draft. We have our board, and 11 and 23 versus three right now, we like where we are.
If that report is true, I'm surprised they said no. I am surprised they said no, just because there was so much conversation about, you know, the Pats needed more draft capital. They had so much to figure out when it comes to their roster, and it wasn't just the quarterback position. But I think maybe part of it is absolutely what you said, but the other part could be, too, the Pats looking at the class coming out next year and being like, eh, you know what? Maybe we don't like any of those quarterback prospects coming out next year. Maybe we don't believe in those guys, and we like Drake May enough we're not moving off this spot. But that would be hard for me to say no to if I were New England and Elliott Wolf and Mayo resetting that franchise over there. Three first-round draft picks and some other stuff, too. I mean, that it's rare that you see that draft compensation offered in the NFL now.
Well, yeah, it is three. You're correct. But I guess when you really look at it, it's you're giving up the one you already had. So really, it's two. It's
well, Minnesota's giving you 11 and 23 and one next year, right?
Yeah, but I guess, and maybe my brain doesn't work right because, but you don't have three anymore. You're just sliding back, right, to 11 and then getting 23 and then next year's 25.
So you essentially still have three first-round selections over 2 years.
You still have them, but my point is I'm not giving you...
Right, but I'm still picking three times in the first round over 2 years.
Yeah, it's the same way to look at it. But I was reading that the Giants had offered the number six pick and their 2025 first-rounder to the Pats just to move up three spots, and they said no to that.
Here's what we know. I mean, whether it's this year's class, next year's class, the year's... prior to what we've seen, the NFL, there's going to be so many misses at the quarterback position. Look at the 2021 draft class right now where all those guys are. Most of them are on new teams. Like, that's going to happen this year. It's going to be one or two guys that hit, maybe May, maybe Daniels, maybe Williams. We spent so much time talking glowingly about all these guys for weeks and weeks leading up to the draft. And it's only going to be one or two of them that hits, and they will be looking at it a couple years from now and saying, what were they doing drafting that guy that high? That's just what the history of the league has shown us.
Only of those five guys you're talking about, there's only one that's on his current team.
2021. And it's Trevor Lawrence.
He was the top pick.
There you go.
But Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. That's what this NFL is now.
Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence are teammates now.
Yeah, that's right. Way to go, Jacksonville. You actually had picks 1 and 15 that year. And you took two quarterbacks. You did what the Falcons did.
It's an inexact science, man. It really is.
All right, we'll get going. And Buckeye fan, you may not have to wait until this season to actually wear the crown. We'll tell you what that means next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Three dudes who will make you feel like the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, we hornswoggled you good.
Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, we'll talk a little Buckeyes with Pat Murphy here, bottom of the hour, 12:33. But I did notice this last night, and I didn't think this would happen kind of maybe before fall. And it isn't like all the books are flip-flopping here. But I did see that Athlon Sports and our guy Brad Crawford at 24/7 Sports did flip Georgia and Ohio State. That Georgia is no longer number one preseason in the college football rankings according to 24/7 Sports, and your new offseason number one wearing the invisible crown are your Ohio State Buckeyes.
I thought you were about to go WWE and new. You know when they announce a champion and new. You kind of
want to put that
with that vibe
you.
Right there.
Well,
I like that a lot.
They did. Been a lot of money out there. A lot, as Mr. T used to say, got a lot of more for you. And there was a lot of more for them in the donation collective area, and they put it to very good use. And so Crawford's top 10 now has Ohio State above Georgia, then Texas at 3, the Oregon Ducks, Ohio State will be going to Eugene this year, Bama at 5, Ole Miss at 6, does have Michigan at 7, little high, and Mizzou at 8, Penn State at 9, Notre Dame at 10.
Mizzou at 8. That's interesting to me right there. I'd love to ask Brad. Maybe we can get him on in the coming days to pick his brain on Mizzou. So this is just their personal opinion, and I wonder, has this changed because of some things that they saw in the spring game, maybe watching Georgia and looking at the roster there? Did they not like some of the things that they're seeing? Look, they slid them down to 2. It's not like it was a massive drop-off. But for the longest now, and still over at Bet365, Vegas is telling us that Georgia is still the favorite at plus 325, and the old Buckeyes are coming in at second at plus 450. These teams...
That's dropped.
It has dropped, right? It has dropped for sure. And so on Ohio State's side of things, like, this is going to be such an experienced football team. We just got done watching the NFL draft, and, man, there's a chance that maybe they could even break the record next year, Ohio State's school record of draft picks back in 2004 with 14. That's going to depend on some of the juniors that are on the fence, like a Quinshon Judkins or Davis and Igbenosin, who are juniors but have started at the collegiate level for a couple years. But you're going to be talking about, you know, a handful of guys plus that are going to be fifth-year seniors that are going to be suiting up for Ohio State. So just top to bottom, they're going to be rolling out guys that have been there, done that. And we know there's still a bit of a question mark at the most important position, but I think that's really going to put this year's team in pole position to be one of the last teams standing. There's just so many guys that have seen a ton of football and are good players as well.
Yeah, there's no way to other way to look at it as... Whether they were one or two, the pressure was the same. Is there, by one guy at one site making them number one? I don't think it really changes all that much. They've just got too much invested in this season for them not to be the last team standing. Now, I know it's sports. A lot of things need to happen. A, they need to stay healthy. And B, I think you brought it up correctly. How much are they going to have to rely on the quarterback this year? And will that guy respond and be that guy? Because they're gonna wipe away so many teams this year based on talent alone. But it will be interesting when they make that trip to Eugene, and we'll see what Oregon has. I mean, their biggest move this year was maybe keeping their coach. I know they got Gabriel. The quarterback is big. But the fact that they were able to stabilize the program when he was such a coveted coach. Yeah. And Dylan Gabriel, the kid from Oklahoma, he's got to fill in for Bo Nix, and he's experienced. What did Ohio State do? They same thing. They wanted a guy at the position. We'll see if Will Howard becomes that guy to lead this team. He's not just a vocal leader. He has to be the guy. Now, he's got so much around him. If the offensive line comes together, the running game should be outstanding. They should be an incredibly balanced team. And then it's on the quarterback. The one missing link from last year, I guess, was that consistency at the QB position when they really needed it.
Yeah.
McCord had several great moments. We've talked about him. Could he have even gotten better? I assume he would have. I don't think he just was going to, this was it. This was the best he could be. So he probably was looking forward to building on what he had last year. But they went out and got a guy that they feel just checks more boxes.
You know, it's curious. You brought up Kyle McCord and maybe what he could have been this year. I would love to ask Coach Day that question. Maybe we already have our answer based off of his actions, that maybe he didn't think he could turn a corner and really level up. Maybe everything that they got out of Kyle McCord last year was all that you could get out of the kid. Maybe that was the case, but I would love to ask him that question. But when it comes to this year's quarterback, whoever it is, Like, I think they're going to be protected by a very good run game. And the quarterback's going to be included in that. We talked to Tyvus yesterday, and we broke down the Browns with him and their draft picks and all that good stuff. And he was letting us know that he thinks that their identity has a chance to change a little bit this year, with maybe they're going a little bit more pass heavy with the addition of Judy. And we know Cooper and Njoku are going to be balling out if they're healthy. But for Ohio State, I think it has a chance to flip as well this season. Not that the receivers won't be involved. They're too good not to be involved with the Mecca and Jeremiah Smith and Tate and company over there. But when you look at the moves that have been made this offseason with the style of quarterback that you got in Will Howard, Devin Brown, who we know was used last year to help the run game, you bring in Chip Kelly, who is a great run game type of play caller, if you will, and then the addition of Quinshon, maybe that'll be the identity of this year's team. Is you're going to have a strong run game with what should be an elite defense, and we can still pop off with our wide receivers if we need to.
I think they wanted the ability to have the quarterback be the 11th weapon, is a bad word because they're not all weapons on the field, but to have a guy who maybe can be that skill guy at the quarterback position they didn't get. Kyle McCord, they lost to Michigan by 6 points. They had the ball at the end. He had two interceptions. One, where a lot of people said 50-50, blames on Marv and him on the throw. Okay, the last one, under pressure, guy misses a block, Michigan defender's in his face, he throws it up, he has to, right? But the difference is he carried the ball one time for negative 3 yards. He only had, I think, 12 carries the entire year. Mm-hmm. You cannot tell me that that's the exact thing they said, because I think they probably thought Kyle could be better and could improve. But the question they had to ask themselves, will he ever be that? And I think they knew their answer. When you ask that question, like, what did they already know?
Yeah.
I think they already knew that he may be a guy who can move, but isn't, quote, a runner when we need him to be.
You don't got to get carried away with the carries at the quarterback position, because you don't want to put your guy in the line of fire, if you will, more times than not, to obviously, you know, rack up an injury or injuries. But to your point, at least have the defense and the defensive coordinator look at that guy as a possible threat with his legs. And I think that is going to be the case this year, maybe even then some, with the guys that they have over
there.
I'm
telling you, that's what I believe wholeheartedly was why they went out to try to find the guy who could be very good at that position, manage the offense, have experience, been there, done that. Not that he'd be mistake-free completely, but when we need it, can you go get it? Mm-hmm. And hopefully they have that guy. When you need it, can you go get it? Well, maybe not. You might be feeling tired. You might have lack of motivation and drive. You might have gained some LBs, lost some muscle mass. Could be signs of low T. So if you're a guy out there listening, like, I'm wondering where I am on that scale, because I'm feeling tired and I shouldn't. So don't wait. Find out at Low T Center. They'll make it very easy. Get your levels checked. Get online right now. Go to lowtcenter.com and book that appointment. And you'll go in, take the blood test. The on-site lab will give you those results back in 25 minutes. Not like a doctor's office. You're not going to wait for hours. And if you need the treatment, they will guide you through it. Physician-monitored self-inject treatment for established patients. They'll ship it right to your home every month, so you don't have to even go to the center for weekly visits. But right now, it's key. $25, you'll get your T-level tested at Low T Center. So go to lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare. Pat Murphy from Bucknuts jumps on next. We'll get his answers about the confidence in the quarterback. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got 2 words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, as we mentioned, Brad Crawford, 24/7 Sports, flipped the Buckeyes to his preseason number one. Patrick Murphy, Ohio State beat writer for Bucknuts, 24/7 with us as well. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Hey, Pat.
What's going on, guys?
What's the motivation for this flip at this point, you think, from Crawford?
Well, I haven't talked to Brad specifically about that, though I did talk to him this morning, ironically. But I think you just look at what Ohio State's done. Obviously, the buzz that initially came of the guys returning and the players added in the transfer portal, but that was all kind of hypothetical, right? And then we got to go through spring practice, and just kind of, I think, as everything's played itself out, Ohio State's in a pretty good spot going into this. I think I saw the other day they either have the first or second best odds, depending on where you look, for the national championship next year. You know, this is nothing listeners don't already know. But, you know, I think the offensive line maybe started to find some things by the end of spring. The quarterback competition obviously is still ongoing. But other than that, like, where are your questions about this team? Tight end, maybe? Linebacker? All things that I think can be and will be solved. So I think when you look at them, Georgia, you're probably splitting hairs if trying to pick one team. And, you know, I think Brad just recognized that There's a lot to like about this Buckeye team, and maybe still some questions with Georgia.
So Dallin Hayden hits the portal. He's going out to Colorado to get coached up by Coach Prime. Pat, now I want to ask you about the depth that Ohio State has. I mean, we all know that Travion's had some moments to where he's had to miss some time. So let's say that same thing does happen in an unfortunate way in 2024. How are you feeling about the strength of that running back room now without Dallin Hayden in the mix?
Well, I think one of the big things that Carlos Lachlan will have to handle this season, and he talked about it a little bit when he met with the media the first time, what is splitting up the running back carries between those top two guys, Travion and Quinshon Judkins. You mentioned Travion's injury history. You want to keep him healthy. Quinshon Judkins has been healthy, but he's got a lot of carries, a lot of hits on his body. So I think determining how you're going to work it between those two is going to be priority one, so that A, you keep them both happy, but they both stay fresh enough for the end of the season. And then depth wise, I like what I've seen from James Peoples. I think running back is a position that freshmen can come in and contribute right away. We've seen that in the past. So, you know, he could make that transition, I think, pretty quickly. We've seen PC Caffey in bits and pieces before he got hurt a couple of years ago. And he looked good, I thought, when we saw him in spring. I know Ohio State typically turn to walk-ons, but you saw what Xavier Johnson did the last couple of years. I think T.C. Caffey has a little bit of experience and can contribute. And I'll still be interested in Sam Williams-Dixon. I don't know where exactly he will end up later down the road in his career, but right now he's in the running back room. So you've got five guys there, and your top two are probably as good as any in the country. I think if you're going to your third-string running back anyway, you're probably in a little bit of trouble at the position regardless, but like I said, it's going to be a balancing act of trying to keep these guys healthy and be productive as much as possible.
Pat Murphy with us, Bucknuts.com, here on Rothman and Ice. So I pointed out to Maddie, you know, last segment, I think, you know, Kyle McCord may have had, I don't know, 11 or 12 carries the entire season, and he had one against Michigan in a six-point game. Will Howard had 81 carries last year. And I'm curious, from your point of view, when you think about the decision they made to solicit offers at quarterback and try to get a guy, and they get this 6'5", 240-pound dude that's been around. Was that the main reason they felt like they just needed a level up at quarterback in the kind of the willing to go get it guy if needed?
I think it's funny that we've kind of come back full circle to the mobile quarterback to some degree that we had, we watched under Urban Meyer. And I remember fans complaining at that point in time about that you want a guy who can just stand in the pocket and deliver it. Well, they've had that the last few seasons. Now they want someone a little bit more mobile. So it's just kind of the way the world works. I definitely think that was part of the thinking. You know, obviously Devin Brown can do some of that. Lincoln Kienholz can do some of that. I think heading into the Cotton Bowl, had things gone more to plan with Devin Brown staying healthy, I think we would have seen some of that, especially in the red zone. And I think that's where Will Howard could be the most productive. I don't know if he will get that many carries that you mentioned this season, but I do think down as you get closer to the red zone, you know, that threat, and Urban Meyer used to talk about that a lot, that, you know, balancing out numbers 11 v 11 instead of 10 v 11 makes you much more dangerous. So I think that's really where I see Will Howard or whoever the quarterback is being utilized the most in the run game. But yes, I do think they want to be more of what it was like with a JT Barrett or a Justin Fields than maybe the past 3 years or so.
So this defense looks like it has a chance to be really strong this season. Pat, who's one guy that you think, in your opinion, maybe is the most important piece of the defense going into 2024?
Ooh, that is a tough one because I think there are quite a few. I think Cody Simon's development at middle linebacker is going to be really important. You know, Tommy Eichenberg was such a steadying presence in the heart of that defense, but you know, how do you not also then talk about what Caleb Downs brings? You know, the fourth year guys on the defensive line, you know, Sonny Styles and CJ Hicks, you're going to need them as well. So to me, I think, and I think if you ask the coaches, they would say the same. Like, it needs to operate as a collective. And I think that was what was so good about the group last year was that, yeah, there wasn't maybe the superstar on defense that, you know, every game was out there making plays. It was the way that they played as a group and the way that they were able to shut things down. I think that's kind of what Jim Knowles' defense is about. And I think that's what will emerge again this year with obviously guys that I just mentioned being able to make some plays, but it's kind of the collective mentality that has made this group as good as it was a year ago.
Enoch Vamahi, right into the portal. This was a kid who has been around a while. He was a top 10 at his position when Ohio State recruited him years ago. What do you make of that? He was just a depth piece and he saw it, probably the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I think people are more confused about why this didn't happen earlier. I've been asked, I mean, going even back to last offseason, you know, is he a guy who I thought would enter the transfer portal just because he hadn't really gotten much in the way of opportunities? Two starts, one against Michigan 2 years ago, gets pulled out pretty early in that game, didn't have a great Cotton Bowl when they redid the offensive line for that game this past season. So not surprised. You know, I think he is a guy who loved being a Buckeye and wanted to see it out as long as he could. But eventually you get to a point where he wants to have an NFL career. And maybe that's an opportunity that's still there for him if he can go to another program and you know, become a starter and really showcase his ability. So, again, not surprising. And I think this is probably, you know, you get another scholarship here. It's probably one of those situations that kind of worked best for both parties. And, you know, everybody kind of leaves this situation feeling okay about it.
All right, my man. Always appreciate talking ball with you, especially Buckeyes. Be well, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Good talking with you.
Yep. Pat Murphy, Bucknuts.com, 24/7. He was on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. All right, we'll stay with college football. And a couple conferences are developing a plan to share the mountains of cash in college football. Will we ever be turned off? We'll talk about it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Bobby Carpenter doesn't have a mullet, but he's knee-deep in mullet energy. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
We're just talking about this during the break. If a quarterback is taking off and he's going to run because he's being pressured and he gets sacked, should that, I mean, none of that should go against his rushing stats. Right?
Yeah, that's a funky one for me.
It's just, you know, in the NFL, it's not, right?
Don't believe so.
Yeah, so why do they do that? Everything's shifting towards college being pro anyway. Maybe time to get rid of that.
You know, because CBS asked us, I think, last week or maybe the week before about the two-minute drill, maybe coming into college football, and I'm like, okay, why not? We're already almost towards the NFL already. We're going to, what, in-helmet communication is coming to college football, so which I think is actually really cool, and I'm not even thinking about the styling stuff. It's just like, well, why weren't we doing that in the past already. Like, I guess part of me will miss, like, the creative posters that they would come up with like, mayonnaise on one and Taylor Swift on another.
There is a belief that those will still be around because of the up-tempo offense.
Okay, good. Well, that I'm glad that those are sticking around, but I am glad that we're kind of modernizing at least, you know, college football and trying to mirror some of what the NFL is doing. Mm. I know there's other aspects people don't want, and just they want to keep the divide of professionalism and, you know, collegiate athletics. But that type of stuff, like the on-the-field stuff that they're doing, I'm here for it.
Yeah, that never bothered me. It probably bothered coaches and players. But it never bothered me that the coaches could only talk to the other coaches, but not their
players.
Yeah. Like, you bring them over, that's what timeouts are for, that's what the strategy's for. But I realize that we're in a whole different era.
Yeah,
like, you've got the technology, they're going to use it. But I always feel like, all right, the quarterback's going to talk to his players in the huddle, and the play gets sent in. A guy runs in or whatever, but with all the up-tempo that he's talking about, it's not like guys are leaving the field every second.
Right. So now you just get coached from quarterback and quarterback to his players, and away we go, and guy on the defense will have the green dot helmet, and he'll get the plays to his guys, and I think that's going to be a nice little smooth transition.
Yeah. I don't even know how you would do it then with rushing stats with quarterback. I guess they'd always have positive rushing stats then if they ever got sacked. They're over behind the line of scrimmage, we wouldn't tack it on them specifically. But that's why, you know, you start looking at all these negative rushing stats over the year. I assume those are mostly sacks or all sacks. So we'll see. Anyway, I saw this. We've seen this report now. Yahoo Sports reported earlier in the month that all of a sudden these administrators of these programs are being briefed on this proposed new revenue sharing. 15 to 20 million per school with a spending limit that's going to be similar to a pro sports team's salary cap.
Fired up, CB. There we go. Right on cue.
So
make it rain, baby. That's where we're at. Just make it rain, AR.
I think we're in a tsunami now. I don't think there's anywhere to go. I asked you guys before the show, will we ever be turned off by this? And I think the ship has sailed. And if we'd already be.
Yeah.
I think that we'll all cheer. Sometimes you can compartmentalize it. Because I was, you know, watching March Madness, and it was a lot of fun. We watched the games. I didn't know what the guys were making or what they weren't. I mean, we had heard reports on certain guys making this amount of money. I can't tell you. It's the individual on whether once you get this money, when anybody gets a lot of money, you wonder what it does to their motivation. Yeah. In any job, any walk of life, this is not about athletes only. Any walk of life, you've done enough, you're rewarded, here's your money. Are we betting on the right guy? Will he continue to be motivated to keep moving forward and keep improving? I don't know. But when they've done it to themselves because the sport's gotten so big and the television contracts have gotten so massive that everybody knows. I gave you this analogy years ago, before there was the internet, pre-internet, you went in to buy a car. You assumed you were negotiating. That's the sticker price. What is it? Well, once the invoices were being put on the internet, wait a minute. This is actually what the dealer pays for the vehicle. Yeah. Now, there's other stuff and holdbacks and this and that and the other we won't get into, but it armed the consumer with information they never had.
Yeah.
So what I think happened here is that when you hear about these contracts and billions and this and that. Well, guess who? Not that the players didn't know it, but they didn't know it like this in black and white. And they know that they're technically the workforce.
No question.
For what's driving the money, and the pie has to be divided up now. It used to not be that way. It used to be, hey, it's a pretty good trade. I'm getting a free education. I wouldn't normally be able to go to that school or get into that school or whatever. I get to go and get free and food and room and board and books and everything paid for, and here we go. That's a pretty good trade.
Ain't enough anymore, AR, because the players are looking around, and they're saying, yeah, we're getting money now. Name, image, and likeness. We love that. It's a great world that we're living in. But all that other meat that's left on the bone in the form of the TV revenue, yeah, we want a piece of that too. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. They are the attraction. They are all why we sit down on Saturday, whether it's at noon, 3:30, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever it is. And for some of the West Coast fans now, 9 a.m. with the USC and the UCLA's coming into the Big Ten. They're the reason why we're sitting down. So they do deserve a piece of that. And you read, you know, the latest story that came out about them really wanting to really get into this revenue sharing. And it looks like the SEC and the Big Ten are really digging in on getting their portion of the pie. And they want 58% of the college football playoff media revenue rights beginning in 2026 because of all the teams that are coming from the Big Ten and that are coming from the SEC when it comes to the college football playoff. I mean, 29 of the 40 college football playoff slots over the last handful of years plus have gone to Big Ten or SEC teams. So those are the two conferences right now that have been really playing at a very high level. But just bringing it back to the players, these guys now have so much information, right? Just so much information that they're just seeing how powerful the sport is because of what they do, whether it's on offense, defense, special teams, no matter how you participate on that roster. And they're saying, okay, yeah, we're comfortable right now, but we could get a lot more comfortable with all the millions and millions and millions of dollars that are being thrown around in the TV world. And we want a percentage of that too.
Yeah. I mean, we went from discussing the effects of NIL and how it was being handled to the transfer rules, and then to now we're at like athletes negotiating their future with their programs. This, as I said earlier, this was never how it was designed, but there was no good answers on how to cap. I remember we were having conversations about, well, can they cap how much a guy can make off the field? Really? So we're going to tell him he can make money, but only a certain amount?
Yeah, that's
like, so that was weird. And then there was the put it in escrow or let him. Now, I kind of like the idea, which it never went. I like the idea of, okay, if you're going to commit to a school like Ohio State and there's money involved, there's NIL, then that gets put into, you know, an account. And if you're here for this amount of time, you commit to the school, you get the money. But it was never really, theoretically it was okay, but it never really was realistic. And now we're at the point where, you know, there's just too much money involved. Yeah. And these kids can go and jump, and these schools are more than willing to bid for certain guys with NIL. But what it was designed to be is you come to Ohio State, great platform. So we're giving you the platform, and it's a big one, and it's a great one. And what you need to do is become a star or become popular, however you're going to do it, and then you can make money off your name, image, and likeness. No one's stopping you from being a star. You come here and turn yourself into Chris Spielman or Archie Griffin, away you go. Now it turned out it's absolutely pay for play. We think you're good. Yeah. And these companies are willing to help us invest in you. And then maybe it works out. Maybe it's good money. Maybe it's bad money. But we're willing to take the chance.
Yeah. NCAA's got a long way to go to fine-tune this NIL stuff. And I don't know how they're going to do it, because it's wild right now with the amount of money getting thrown around for these kids. And I'm happy for them. But it's pretty eye-opening when you see what some of these guys are getting, and some of the cars and the luxurious things that they get to partake in, and the private jets. And it's wild, man. It really is.
Speaking of money, there is a professional football player who said, my team didn't offer me enough. Will he still play? We'll find out. We'll do that next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hitting a hole in one into your ear hole. Ooh. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour of the program, Rothman and Ice. You know, I was thinking back to the teams that might have been interested in T. Higgins. You know, he had requested the trade. Was that back in March? I can't even remember how long ago it was.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah,
it's been out there for a while.
Put the tag on him. And they had not engaged in any long-term contract discussions, as far as we knew, the people we had on the air. And he's disappointed in that. And you can understand with the seasons that he's had. But it was always the expected outcome in my mind. It always was, based on the luxury of where they wanted to put the money and who they already had at the position. The franchise tag guarantees him $21.8 million to play football this year. But he's a 1,000-yard receiver, and he wants long-term financial security. We all do. And it's not going to arrive in Cincinnati, right? It's they've got to be careful with their money. I'm not blaming them. They signed Joe Burrow to $300 million, and Jamar Chase's extension is going to follow. So you can't, in my mind, they couldn't possibly give Higgins what he wanted. And that's an easy thing to hide behind if you're a business. We love you. We think you're great. That's why we tagged you. That says you're one of the best. And we're willing to guarantee the money all season, $22 million to play football. But now it's on him to say, okay, that's your decision. My decision is I want out of here. And I thought a trade would maybe satisfy everyone, except the team that wants to win, which is Cincinnati. Like, we want to use you for a year. He's like, well, wait a minute. You're not allowed to just use me for a year and then cast me off or whatever. And they're saying, well, wait a minute. If you have a great year, you can parlay that into free agency and go bet on yourself. Like, this is how sports is done. Yeah. So I'm kind of, Maddie, aren't you? This was the expected outcome that we don't have a long-term deal with him, and I didn't think we ever would.
So the latest comes from Kelsey Conway, who covers the Bengals down in Cincinnati for the Inquirer. And she put out a piece last night around 6 o'clock, and it took us, you know, behind the scenes a little bit as to what's been going on one side of it. What is T. Higgins looking for? And on the other side of it, what the Bengals front office has offered T. Higgins. And the report is that T. Higgins was looking for a similar deal that Michael Pittman got from the Colts, 3 years, $70 million. So you see that, and it's like, okay, it's not too bad. In my mind, I was thinking T. Higgins was going to ask for, you know, $30 million. He's heard for years now that you can be a number one receiver for another NFL team. So that's kind of the going rate now is $28, $30 million. And as you mentioned, Jamar Chase, your guy Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and company, those guys maybe will even get beyond that big number. But the other side of it that really was eye-opening in a bad way was her report that's letting us know that the Bengals haven't come close to a $20 million per year range for Higgins, which is, to your point, with where they're at, I guess it's understandable, but it's also like if I'm T. Higgins, it's a little bit of a slap in the face that you know how good I am. Everybody knows how good I am. And I can't even get an offer from you for $20 million. That's the part that I don't think makes Mike Brown in the front office look very good, is when these type of things get out there, even though I think we can all understand to a certain degree that they are caught in a difficult spot because of the amount of good talent that they've acquired within the same room with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and the timing of all this coming to a head. That's the only part, AR, that I got beef with, is that they insulted him, I think, with an offer that's well below what he is as a player.
All right, I could see that. I don't know exactly what they want to afford. Maybe they could, but this was going to be always a big challenge in my mind for them. When they added a year to, they added a year to Hendrickson's
deal.
He's
like, get me out
right?
of here, too.
And we added a year to your deal.
I don't like it.
Like, this is what happens when you get close to winning and you don't. Like,
you know what I just thought about, AR? Remember when we got those report cards for all the teams? Didn't they get F minus?
Well, they weren't the only ones on how they treated the families, food services.
Maybe all that's lurking in the weeds here with this, too. I don't know.
And they extended Logan Wilson, right?
As they should.
And of course, they paid Joseph Burrow. Mm. So T. Higgins, needing at or near the top of the market when Jamar Chase is eligible for an extension next year was never going to happen. Like, that's now I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
This makes it sound like Higgins would accept that money.
Would accept the Michael Pittman offer? For 70?
That's 23 a year.
Do it all day if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals.
No, I know, but it makes it sound like he would absolutely run to sign it, and I don't know if he would.
Well, I think I'm going to assume that Kelsey Conway got this report, that number, from Higgins' camp. I don't think she would throw that out there just willy-nilly, you know what I'm saying, without either talking to him or his agent. That's my guess, is how she got that information.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're in the camp of that even though they put the tag on him that's going to pay him $22 million, he wanted the 3 years, $23
million. I
don't know how much guaranteed they were willing. Because that's probably the big thing. Because even if he signed a three-year $70 million contract, like, I don't know what he would have said. Well, this is the guaranteed money that I need to have. Mm-hmm. How much was the other guaranteed money in that kind of, the contract you just talked
about. For Pittman, I don't know off the top of my head what the guarantee. CB, can you look, check that out for us real quick, what Pittman got guaranteed? But you look at the, you look around the market right now for wide receivers, and the guys that are right at that $20 million mark, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, I mean, Mike Evans, some veteran guys that are well beyond Higgins in years right now. Those guys are getting $20 million, and Higgins is, I think, either entering his prime or whatever we're at with him. Like, he's got so much good football left in him to offer that man a contract south of what those guys are getting is just it's a head scratcher to me. Like, I would have been ecstatic, I think, if I were the front office and his agent, T. Higgins' agent, came to me and said, yeah, we're looking for 3 for $70. Let's go right now.
Here's what I'll do. I'll tag him twice.
CB just said that Pittman got, I'm sorry, CB was in my ear. What'd you say real quick, Aaron?
Said I'll just tag him twice.
Well, that's a whole nother
mess. We'll tag him this year.
Of course you would love that. CB just let me know, Pittman got 46 guaranteed.
Okay. That's good money, guaranteed.
For a guy that you know is legit.
I think.
You know he is.
My guess is Higgins would have taken 25 a year, probably 25 a year, with maybe a little less guaranteed, but... And this is what they wanted. They wanted to keep him for 24 for this season, and potentially, I think, 25 if they were willing to do what I said and tag him twice. But beyond that, we know he was going to be playing for somebody else.
What would that number be for a second tag? It'd probably be crazy high. Yeah. You might be in the 30s
next year. Depends where they are as a team and how close they are and all that. We know that Jamar Chase is going to get...
30 is the floor.
$30 million would be the annual value. He'll probably get...
80 guaranteed.
I was going to say 70, but yeah, you're
well,
right.
We just
there,
saw Amon Ra get 70, right?
Did he
just got
he
70
got?
Guaranteed in his deal, so I think you got to go with.
What if I gave him
80?
That's true.
Gary, what's up, CB?
So the projected tag number for next season in 25 is set at just shy of $25 million.
I do it. See?
Well, of course you.
I'm just telling you what I'm saying is that it might be doable. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but if I'm T. Higgins, we got big beef.
Oh, yeah,
there,
if he's
right?
going to, right, he'll be,
yeah,
he actually may hold out for
At that point in time.
But I don't know.
I think what's going to happen here is a similar movie that we watched just a couple years ago with Cincinnati, with Jesse Bates. We were in this, he had these same conversations. He was looking for a long-term deal. He played on the tag for that final year. They let him walk. He went to Atlanta and got his deal. And so this Zach Taylor, the coaching staff, the front office, they're all in with this core for one more year.
Yeah.
And the way that they're going to go about that is they're trying. I think they're not going to budge with either Hendrickson or Higgins. And they're going to let Higgins play on this tag for pretty good money. It really is good money. He's worth more than that, in my opinion. But for the franchise tag and where he's been in his career, that is good money. But when Zach Taylor's dropping quotes like, we're excited for T to have a great year for us, we think he's our best chance to win us a Super Bowl. I've enjoyed working with T the last 4 years. I expect this year to be no different. That's the elephant in the room right there.
I'm not denying that it would be better if you could get him on a long-term deal than tag him. Because if you get a... Now, he might even want a four-year extension. At his age, you'd probably be willing to do it. So if he wants 4 years, let's just call it $100 million, right? The difference is, and by the way, that's probably not a horrible deal for T. Higgins on both sides. But you'd have to probably guarantee 45 million.
Yeah, that's too light for me if I'm T. Higgins. I'm a number one. I'm a number one in this league. You're saying
you're not the number one on our team.
Well, because I haven't had the opportunity to, because you guys have Jamar Chase. I haven't had a chance to really show you I could be that guy. If he wants to stay in Cincinnati, I don't think that deal's that bad.
4 year a hundy.
But if he thinks in his mind that I'm a dude, then that's right. A little too light for me.
And that's why they're both entitled to think what they want to think. I'll go play football for $22 million. It'll eat into your cap space instead of signing me to a long-term deal. But I think signing to a long-term deal to lower the cap hit would have benefited them this year, but they clearly think they can get it done because the cap hits, you know, the salary cap just keeps going up and all that. But listen, you don't want him to walk. So they tagged him. They had to do that.
And I honestly doubt AR that he'd do a whole bunch of holding out in training camp because all the fines and all that stuff that comes into play. And when you're a guy that hasn't made, you know, $80-100 million in your career, are you willing to miss that time when the thousands and thousands of dollars start racking up, you know, in late summer and early fall? So I think what the Bengals front office, what they're betting on is a couple of these young wide receivers to hit at some point in time, whether it's Burton, who they just drafted, or Yoshi Vosh or Charlie Jones. That would be the win-win for them, is to have T. Higgins for 2024. You keep Joey B. upright all year, and we know if that happens, they're going to be in the mix. And then you turn the page of 2025. You let T. Higgins go do his thing with another team, get him a big contract elsewhere, and we still have Ja'Marr Chase and some young wide receivers that are ready to get busy in the jungle.
They know they have a potential future Hall of Fame at quarterback, and they know they have one of the best receivers in the game.
Who's a Hall of Fame talent as well,
and they just saw the Kansas City Chiefs win another Super Bowl with a nearing 40-year-old Kelce, a Rashee Rice, Justin Watson, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
It's a little different, though, when you got Andy Reid moving the chess pieces around. That's the only difference for me.
I'm just saying, they know they just won a Super Bowl without a 1,000-yard receiver.
No, I know, but they also had a brick wall for a defense, too, to pair with that, with what you just mentioned. So I think that this is a little difference there for me.
I'm saying, if you're Mike Brown, if you're the Bengals, you're thinking, hey, we probably have enough. Like you said, let's go try to win it this year. Let's tag him, and then we'll regroup and see what happens afterward. Yep. And then maybe, who knows, maybe they will try to sign him again. You know, we'll see.
I don't know if that would change, right?
It probably wouldn't unless they're coming at him with
a cheap deal.
Well, no, the offer we just offered him. $100 million with $45 million guaranteed.
I'll say, listen, I love you guys. I'll see you at the Cincinnati Bengal reunion in 10 years. I'm out.
Yeah, well, they'd say, hopefully our rings won't blind you.
Okay.
They'd like to play that game. I think they like him. They wouldn't tag him if they didn't like him, if they didn't think he was great. But
that is, never mind.
What?
The tag him, but that line, if I'm a player, like, well, of course, like, but give me security. I know you like me, but give me security.
I'm telling you from an honest standpoint, I'm playing the game because that's the game that's being played. Mm-hmm. I could easily side with the player, and I have many times. And I'm telling you, as a lesson in life, you can get high-fived by your boss. They can tell you how much they love you.
No question.
You can read a thousand emails, and I'm talking about any walk in life. Mm-hmm. The only time you truly know what they think of you
is the check.
Is when it comes to contractor payment time.
That's it.
Where you fit in the puzzle will be crystal clear to you. It doesn't mean that they don't praise you, that's just fake. It just doesn't cost anything to praise anybody. Right. All right, we'll come back. And speaking of Kelce, Kansas City says he's still got enough left in the tank to go after another, or maybe another after that. Rothman and Ice in the Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Can I tase Common Man in the nuts? Fine by us, but he may like it. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
Alrighty, speaking of Kansas City and receiving, they traded up and got their first-round pick in Xavier Worthy, the fastest ever combine dude. I don't know if he was faster than my boy Ronaldo Nehemiah. But he is Xavier Worthy, and he is a burner. And so they got him in the draft. So now Mahomes has, this guy turns out to be what they think he can. He's got a weapon again, a serious weapon. But they decided to stay with a guy that they, a long and well-liked customer, Maddie.
Mm.
That's a future Hall of Famer in Travis Kelce.
Right.
And I'm wondering if they didn't win at all, if San Fran would have won the Super Bowl, does Kelce make the decision to come back? Because now he's coming back for a three-peat. I always feel like, you know, I can look at the numbers a little bit, and I think I pointed this out even before the Super Bowl when we were on Radio Row. Like, if he does come back, he's got a chance to get to 1,000 catches, which I think is probably a very big milestone that he would want to reach. In fact, I don't even know how many. It can't be that many guys that have ever gotten to 1,000. Let's see if, well, there's 14. Well, that's not a lot.
Combining both wide receiver and tight end, or just tight ends? Is it what are you looking at? Just all?
All.
Okay.
Everybody that's ever caught a football. There's only 14 that have ever caught 1,000 or more. He's currently at 907.
Okay.
So if he fulfills this contract or stays healthy, he might even get it this year. He caught, I'll tell you how many he caught. I'll have to find out because, well, I don't know if he would get it this year. Well, with postseason, they get to the postseason, he probably should. He caught, he caught 93 balls this year.
Yeah, he's just.
That's funny because 93 again puts him right at 1,000.
He's going to get there at some point in time. I don't think he's walking away before he gets that, and he's already arguably the best tight end the sport has ever seen. I mean, amongst tight ends in the history of the game, he's fourth in receiving yards, first in receiving yards per game, first in 1,000-yard seasons, and he's first in 100-yard receiving games. He's the best tight end to ever do it. He shows up time and time again in the postseason, and so now you hit him with a couple more years on the contract with this extension, and he'll get $17 million in guaranteed money in 2024. And you just got to keep this train rolling if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, and they've done that this offseason. They just hit Travis Kelce with a new deal. They just hit Andy Reid with an extension that's going to go through 2029, and they also paired the team president and GM with new contracts as well. So don't mess up a good thing. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just leave it alone, and that's where this team is. And Travis Kelce is aging. He's on the back nine of his career, but you look at what they did in the draft this year. In the fourth round, they went and got a tight end in Jared Wiley out of TCU, and he led all FBS tight ends in touchdowns with 8 this season. So eventually, maybe he will be the guy. But for right now, what they have going on, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be a favorite again in 2024, and Travis Kelce paired with Pat Mahomes is going to be a large reason why.
Yeah. You know, you brought up something interesting, because I watched Tony Gonzalez play, and I can't tell you that I know that Kelsey's better than him. In fact, I almost feel like it really depends on, and I had to kind of think to myself, all right, so who did Tony have as his quarterbacks? And if I go back, Trent Green, Rich Gannon, Elvis Gerbach, yes, even Matt Ryan, that's interesting to me because Kelce now will have Mahomes here for the next couple. And he is outstanding. I think you're splitting hairs. I can't tell you I'd rather have one over the other in a game that was a must-win game because they're both incredible. I mean, Tony was, 14-time Pro Bowler, 6-time first-team All-Pro. And he has the record for all-time yardage by a tight end, and Kelce's not getting that. He's not. So I'm wondering.
I would still take Travis Kelce. And what was eye-opening to me was when Shannon Sharp was on Travis Kelce's podcast, a Hall of Famer himself, and he looked at Travis Kelce and said, "You're the best tight end to ever do it." And this was a couple years ago. And now he's gone on to win a couple more Super Bowls. So, you know, when these athletes always tell us like what matters to them when it comes to opinion is the respect of their peers. When Uncle Shea said that, I was like, okay. And that's just one guy. Tony Gonzalez may feel a different way. You know, you never know. These are just opinions we're throwing out there. But this guy right now is the guy at that position and has been the guy for a very, very long time. So the Chiefs are in an interesting spot, right, where they've got this aging star in Kelce. I just mentioned who they drafted, you know, in the fourth round, a tight end there. But they also, their first 3 picks this season, we're all guys on offense. You mentioned Xavier Worthy. They drafted a tackle from BYU and with their 2nd pick, and they came back around, you know, to get some other guys as well. So, yeah, this is a scary proposition they have going on right now where they've got this young defense that is lights out, and now they're starting to sprinkle in some of these young weapons, and we'll see what happens with Rashee Rice, but he looks promising. So they're giving themselves some runway, which is the smart thing to do when you've got a contract quarterback on the contract that Pat Mahomes is on.
I do believe, though, the three-peat is big-time motivation for Kelce. I do. I mean, I can't tell you that whether if they lost the game, he wouldn't have done this. Maybe he would have retired. I don't know. But I feel like that's not something you want to leave on the table. You don't want to leave 93 catches away from 1,000. You don't want to leave a chance at a three-peat. And he's doing it pretty well. And he is a bargain at that money. He is. He's the 4th highest-paid tight end. Darren Waller, How much is Kelce making per year? Did you say?
I've got just 17 guaranteed for 2024.
Okay, so that probably puts him right up there with those guys, Hockenson, George Kittle, but
yeah, and it looks like 17.2 for 2025.
Okay, so that I think gets him above them. But either way, when you think about Waller, Hockenson, Kittle, and Kelce, I mean, three of those guys are pretty reliable, although Kittle's kind of, I don't know, he's still pretty awesome. But Waller, you know, you're not really sure what you're getting out of Waller, depending on who his quarterback is. But that's a heck of a value considering the amount of catches you're getting from him and the competitor that he is. And the chemistry he has with Mahomes, it's his primary read. And he's not a burner, and somehow he just beats dudes.
Crafty, man. He talked about how the quarterback position that he played in the past helps him sync up, you know, with Mahomes and knowing where to be with all the zone coverage and all that. But also with this new contract that you're paying for the Swifties as well. You know, that's what you're paying for, too. You got Taylor as a part of this deal.
Yeah, she gets to show up at the game.
There you go,
right,
man.
There is some hidden value there. Yeah. They get to buy up all the gear.
Mm-hmm. All the 13s?
That's right.
It's got to be baked into the contract.
So the four-year, $57 million extension, that's the one he signed in 2020. All right, so this is adding two more.
Two more to the current deal. Okay. Yeah, he was already on. Yep, so about 17 over the next 2 years. He's worth it. He's worth it.
All right, we'll see how Jeff Risden rates the draft and the moves that were made by the contenders. That's next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Both of these guys wear baseball hats every day, and it's because their hair is sewn into them. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, our man Jeff Risden comes on, talk about this draft, managing editor for the Lions Wire, the Draft Wire, and he's with us now on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Jeff, welcome back.
It's great to be with you guys now that we have a draft in the rearview mirror to talk about instead of looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, it's tough to say whether they had the same turnout if the Lions weren't as good as they are, right? I mean, there's so much fever in that city now and so much hype and all that. I mean, if they had the draft in Detroit and the Lions weren't what they are now, do you get the same turnout, or do you believe that you just buy into just how much they love their team right now?
You know, I think it would have been close, but I don't think that 600,000 mark that Nashville set back in, I think it was 2019, probably would have been around the thing, but getting over 775,000, there are local estimates in Detroit that have it over 800,000. I don't think that's happening without the fever pitch for the Lions, no doubt about it, because I tell you what, it's crazy the amount of love and respect that the Lions fans are giving to the team. And it's unusual because they haven't really earned that in a very long time. Look, it's a town that's starved for a winner. None of their other teams are good, by the way, either. So they're really latching onto the Lions and riding it for as much as they do. And the city of Detroit deserves a lot of credit. They did a fantastic job. There were over 300,000 people down there on Thursday night. There were two arrests. That's impressive.
It really is.
Nice shooting percentage there. I agree. Yeah.
No, but Jeff, I want to stay in the NFC North and slide over to Chicago, but not the first overall pick, but the ninth pick, because there was some, you know, debate out there whether they should go with a receiver or an offensive lineman. They go with Ruma Dunze. Your thoughts on that draft pick?
I love it. I love getting Caleb Williams a reliable weapon. Look, I was at Washington's game at Michigan State last year, and just watching Rome warm up on the sidelines, like practicing catching balls that weren't anywhere close to where they should have been, on purpose. They did it that way, and he's just snagging them left. It was a display, and he's mentally tough. He's ready for the rigors of the Chicago media. which is a very unusual beast. If you haven't been there, it's kind of hard to explain, but they will love you until they hate you, and then they'll really hate you and never love you again. I think he's going to thrive in that sort of environment. I think he's a great foil for DJ Moore. It was a great pick. They couldn't have gone wrong either. I would have been happy with Brock Bowers there if I was a Chicago fan. He's certainly an interesting weapon, but I think Rome is I liked him better than I liked Malik Nabers, and I liked Malik Nabers a lot. So I'm pretty bullish on that pick.
Jeff Risen with us, DraftWire, talking about the draft here. Let me ask you, is there the most mystery around Drake May? Is he the most mysterious man coming out of the draft, considering what the Patriots may have turned down to pick him?
Yeah, and it sounds like they turned down an offer from the Giants of number 6 overall and a first round next year. And they turned down Minnesota's offer of 11 and 23 and a first round next year to stay at 3 and take Drake May. It's interesting. That's a massive risk, but they're in a good spot to do it because they've got a new regime, new pretty much everything from top to bottom in that organization. If you're going to take a risk like that, now's the time to do it. But you'll be hard pressed to find anybody who is super confident in anything in Drake May, either positive or negative. Like, there's a lot of things about him that are very intriguing to me. There are also a lot of things like, dude, why aren't you getting better at anything throughout the process of your career? So I'm a little scared of him, but there's no question that he's got some upside. But that's not the pick that I would have made. Like I said, who really knows how that's going to play out? It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch because I can see him becoming very, very good and doing that very quickly. I can also see him getting a second contract and playing in the UFL instead of the NFL. It's that wide open for him.
Okay, strong right there. Jeff, whose draft class did you really like? Hit us with a team where you're like, when they got done with everything this past weekend, you look at the prospects they brought in, and you really liked what they cooked up in their war room.
Oh, man, Washington. The Commanders killed it. Jaden Daniels. Getting Johnny Newton, who I thought was the best overall defensive player in the draft, getting him at the top of the second round, come on. He's Gerald McCoy 2.0. He's that kind of a player. He fell for a little bit because he had a foot issue, but, man, that's a great – they picked up Mike Sainer still. I think that's a fantastic pick for them. Just a really good top-to-bottom draft for a team that needed it. Another team that's making a transition from, into a new regime. I think their rookie GM did a very good job.
Well, Jaden Daniels has to stir that drink, right? I mean, they handed him a decent amount. Did Jaden Daniels walk into a better situation than J.J. McCarthy? I mean, Daniels does have McLaurin and Dotson and Eckler and Ertz, and they got Luke McCaffrey in the third round. Like, or do you think J.J. walked into the best situation? Maybe even Caleb Williams. Sorry.
Yeah, I think McCarthy, because I think the Vikings have their tackles in place. I think right tackle Brian O'Neill, left tackle Christian Darius. I think they're pretty good there. So that's going to help a lot. You don't want to have to deal with that overwhelming pressure all the time. Washington's offensive line has kind of been like inside out. They're not bad, but they need some help there. So I wonder how that's going to work. But I love the idea of him throwing a Terry McLaurin and all the weapons there. There's a lot to work with in Washington if Daniels is ready, and I think he is. I liked him better than Caleb Williams. I'm one of those weirdos that went out on that limb. So I feel pretty strongly about it. They're in a tough division, though, and Dallas's defense got better. Look at Philadelphia. They're always going to be good. The Giants, very interesting team in the New York Giants, but they do have a defense that can do some things. So he's going to have to earn it right away. That's a tough spot to come into, but I like what Jaden Daniels is getting into.
Jeff, where were you at with Bo Nix coming into the draft? And in a two-parter here, your take on him as a prospect and now his landing spot pairing up with Sean Payton out there in Denver.
All right, I'll answer the second part first. I love the idea of him going to Denver under Sean Payton specifically because he does a lot of the same things that Drew Brees did well. And you can see that Sean Payton wants to replicate that in Denver. It doesn't mean that he's as good as Drew Brees was. But there's a lot to like about Bo Nix. One of the things that came out, I got a chance to interview Bo a little bit. He is so freaking smart on and off the football field. And he's not going to be fooled by defenses. He's not going to be overwhelmed by all the pressure that's going to be on around him. He's ready for that. I think that the fact that he washed out so miserably at Auburn when he was so celebrated and going there, I think he's learned how to process that into a positive. And he was very, very good at Oregon in a sort of a gimmicky offense. And that's what concerns me. If they're going to ask him to throw down the field a lot and they kind of have the receivers that work better down the field than short, I'm not sure that's the best fit schematically for him, but they're a team in transition. So I like it. It was it early for me? Yeah, it was. But the drop off from Bo Nix to Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt, I think Rattler was the next quarterback, and I think he went in the fifth round. Like that's a legit drop off. So Denver, if they felt strong enough that they had to get their guy, go get him, and they did.
All right, we'll leave you with this one, Jeff Risden. We'll ask you about the Penix situation. And listen, I know desperate teams do desperate things. They have to. Atlanta was not desperate, so they must have had Penix so high. But the gamble, weigh in on that. Is this a major gamble they took on Penix, just the player, or are you very confident that they got what they think they have at eight?
You know, it's good that you put the term so high in there, because that's the only explanation for this pick. I don't know. I don't get it. Why do you give Kirk Cousins all that money? You can't get out of his deal for three more years. So then you're taking the number nine pick or number eight pick in the draft, a guy who should be able to help Kirk Cousins be the best Kirk Cousins he can be. And instead you're competing with him. You're usurping him. You're challenging his authority. It's just an absurdly weird pick. Maybe Penix works out for it. I don't know, but I can't fathom that team did that. And if you saw the reaction shot from the owner, Arthur Blank, going after their GM in the draft room, I think that was a pretty accurate summation right there. That's just one. That's a real head scratcher, man.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, my man. Thanks for weighing in. Always good to have a chat with you. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Jeff Risden, DraftWire on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. I know what he's talking about, that video. It's hard to know. There weren't subtitles. It's not like we know exactly what he was saying to Arthur Blank in that moment. But if you were just watching a silent movie, you'd be like, okay, he's definitely having to explain himself to the boss right now. But there's no way he makes that pick without Arthur. He can't do a unilateral decision there on that. There's just no way.
Not at that position.
I don't think so. Yeah. And not at number eight.
You want to Sonny Weaver Jr.
Well, that's okay.
And not after the money that they just handed Kirk Cousins.
Wait, we can still get Bo Callahan? Sorry, go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to say, and not even after the money they just gave to Kirk Cousins, which the owner has to sign off on.
So what Jeff wanted to say there, and what I've said many times, they thought they bought a car, a really good vehicle, that has a rebuilt engine with Kirk Cousins. They just know that one day it may not turn over. Or it may break down. And they got the best insurance policy they felt in the draft. Yeah. But insurance policies, that's a luxury they probably didn't need to go down. No, but they're worried about, I assume they're worried about Cousins' health.
You got the car already. Why put the spinners on it. Give me the spinners on the car.
The spinners won't spin if the car isn't moving. You could go out there with your hand, Matty, like a windmill.
Man.
All right, we'll come back. Buckeye Bulletin. Ryan Day weighs in on the offseason and his own timeline of coaching. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If your idea of the perfect radio show is all Buckeyes all the time, then it's your lucky day, Slappy. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, this is the season. All in. That's the new phrase now, right? You go all in for whatever all in means to you. And usually that means money and everything, that it's all designed towards winning now, and then we worry about the future after that. It feels like the future will always be bright at Ohio State. However, it is under a very weird cloud right now. There's no denying it. They've been incredibly successful. Ryan Day, 56-8, 39-3 in the Big Ten. We get it.
It's like one of those partly cloudy days, right? Like the clouds that come in, it's kind of that 0-3 hangover with Michigan, And then the sun will pop out. And that's like, oh, hey, it's Will Howard. It's Quinshon Judkins. It's Chip Kelly. You know, that's kind of where we're at, I think, with this year's team.
Feels like it. And the sun will shine, I assume, for most of this season. They'll get in the playoff. They have to. And then it's championship or bust. We know it. The 1-3 in the CFP and all that can all wipe that away. They got to wipe away the first part first, which is Michigan. And that game will be here. And once again, they will be favored and probably fairly big, but we'll know when we get there. We also know the pressure that he's under as a $10 million coach with an 0-3 streak right now to his rival. We know that, and he knows that. And he was on with the late kick with Josh Pate a little while ago, and he was asked about how long he sees himself coaching for.
I want to beat Ohio State for a long time, you know, and I know a big part of that is winning championships, and that's why, you know, that's where all my focus is and our focus is right now. We love it here. It's a great place. Columbus is a great place. The people of Ohio are great. And so, you know, we got to win championships here. That's just how it goes. And so we're going to work our tail off to get that done and be here as long as we can. But when I start to think past all of that, I think about being around my family, being around the kids, being around Nina, and just doing what makes us happy. And this job, I love this job. And, like, you know, if you don't win championships, you know, they're going to find another coach. I get that. But at the end of the day, it's about the impact you have on people and the platform that Ohio State has to offer and the impact you're having on the kids and the staff and all those types of things. And no matter how it all shakes out, I want to make sure I'm always doing that, because to me, you know, that's what put, you know, you put 2 feet on the ground every day coming out of bed. Like, what motivates you, you know? And that's what motivates me ultimately, is to continue to do that, to have an impact on people and to help people in Buckeye Nation. But in order to do that, you got to win games. And so we have to make sure we're doing that at the highest level. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of how I think.
The man understands. He understands the game. He understood the assignment when he was tabbed as the next head coach at The Ohio State University. We all understand what's going on this year, what needs to happen this year. But everything he said about the program, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. This is one of the Mount Rushmore programs around the sport. And when this job comes available, you know, which is can be rare because of the history that this program has had and the good coaches that have been here. My goodness. I mean, this is the dream. I mean, there's only a handful of these around the sport. And so for him, he's done a really good job. He has. But at the end of the day, as we just heard from him, it's the rivalry and it's hoisting trophies. And he's got everything in front of him right now this season to get that thing done. Few question marks here and there around the roster. But for the most part, with his experience, the guys that he's brought on his staff and the players they have on the depth chart, they've got a real opportunity to do it this year.
Oh, yeah. It's this one is the one. Only he knows how good they can be and how good he can get them. We'll find out. But you can't get revenge on the coach. That guy's gone. He left. Mm-hmm. And I, you can hear it in his voice. He is balancing the perspective of the impact he has on his athletes and the guys that play for him, all while knowing that my timeline may be not in my own hands if I can't get this done.
Yep.
And so that's where it is. He's a realist. He gets it. But we never thought he'd be here at this point. But he can't think about that. He can only focus on what he's got. And here he is assessing his quarterback room post-spring game.
Well, first off, the room is strong. Those guys have a really good synergy about the room. And when you have five guys in a room, that's not always easy. But they're working well together. It's competitive. It's talented. I think, you know, Will brings in, some experience with the fact that he's won a Big 12 championship before. You know, Devin's been in the program now for 3 years. So they both have experience, one in the program, one outside the program, but both pushing each other to make each other better. Lincoln and Julian are both green, both talented. Lincoln was a three-sport athlete, Gatorade Player of the Year coming out of South Dakota, Major League Baseball product, excellent basketball player. Didn't play football year-round there. So he got in the summer, wasn't here last spring, and so he's still even been here for a year, which is crazy to think about. And he's growing and building, and you can see the talent there. And then you have Julian and Air, and, you know, both guys talented, both come from areas of the country where they play football kind of year-round. So they're a little bit further along that way, but still really, you know, young and still figuring it out. But, I've been impressed with their approach. And, you know, it's hard to get everybody reps. I mean, that's probably the hardest part about that room when you have five guys getting five guys reps. So we did roll those guys in the spring. We'll have to prioritize them a little bit more in the preseason.
Talent-wise, he's got a three-game preseason schedule. Talent-wise, he's got three to work with. Not saying they shouldn't go and beat Michigan State, come back home and beat Iowa. But you got to be settled when you start that Big Ten season. You got to be settled. You got to feel like then there's two ramp-ups to me. The Akron Western Mitch Marshall to get the quarterback shakeout pecking order, however you want it. Give guys reps, do what you need to do, find out a little about this guy, that guy, whatever. And then when you get to September 28th at Michigan State, okay, this is your team.
Yep.
Go take them. And now you got two games, important games, to get to that Eugene game in Oregon, and then all of a sudden you're on because you're going to be taking that team to Happy Valley, and away you go.
Yep. And, you know, we heard Coach mention there, you know, off the top, the experience between Will and Devin. To me, the only difference is, I know Devin's been here for 3 years, it's just on the field. We haven't seen him a ton. And we don't know how Devin would react, you know, on the road at Ann Arbor when they start jumping around in Madison or the whiteout at Penn State or when you go to Rutgers and the stadium may be half empty. You know, you don't know how your quarterback's going to respond in that deal there. So Will has that upper leg, if you will, right, when it comes to the on-field experience. But to your point, they've got time to figure this thing out.
All right, that is your Buckeye Bulletin for today. You just had me thinking, like, what was Rutgers' average attendance this year?
Well, I was picking on Rutgers.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they've had sellouts there before. I don't know how many.
Well, probably because when the Buckeyes are in town, that's why they're selling out. But then just in certain environments, like, can you get the guys going if the crowd isn't behind
maybe,
you?
Yeah, maybe it's a sellout, and then you tune in at halftime, and
they're gone.
Different.
Yeah, 38-0.
All right, we will come back after a SportsCenter update. We'll deep dive. Maddie, the race for the top dog in 25 is already out. We'll bring you up to date next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, third hour set to go. We'll have John Daigle, fantasy expert, establish the run site 233.
You know who I have to ask him about? And he went to a funky spot. And your boy drafted him, Jalen Wright, running back from Tennessee to the Miami Dolphins. Like, what are we going to do with the Dolphins in fantasy this year? A-Chain, Mostert is back on a new deal.
You know who I want.
And you want A-Chain.
Yeah, I do.
But it could get dicey with touches. Yeah. He is the home run hitter. I mean, Mostert led the league in rushing touchdowns last year, and now they add another running back. It's just like, really?
And they just gave Mostert an extension, so you got to figure he's still in the plans.
I know, yeah. CB, you got to follow the money, to your point. So that's going to be a mess to figure out fantasy this year.
I mean, you had Wilson for a while, didn't you, also?
Jeff Wilson?
Yeah, I think you had Wilson and Mostert
for
a while.
Yeah, man. It's just like, my God. And I get why they do that.
Is Ahmed still there?
I don't know if he's still floating around. But, yeah, good luck figuring that out this season, which running back to play in Miami.
I mean, you know me. I mean, we get to the end of the draft, and it's running back, running back, running. You just start grabbing bodies, them because you're just praying then that you have the guy that's the handcuff to the injured guy. Like, that's what you hope, right? Remember how I think the biggest pet peeve probably in drafting for me is when somebody drafts my handcuff, and I'm like, what do you need him for? You don't need him.
See, I understand that perspective because – I know it's not the same thing, but if I draft the second running back to the starter, I feel like I have a handcuff.
Who was I fighting for last year? I thought somebody grabbed... I grabbed Dowdle to handcuff Pollard.
Mm-hmm.
Who was my other running back? I didn't. My running backs weren't...
You had a lot of backs.
Who did I have as my second running back? I'm asking you. I should know. I don't know. Anyway, you asked the question of what are you going to do with Wright? I would draft him if I owned a Dolphin. I don't know if I would outside of that, but
yeah,
you know, we'll ask him.
CB, what's up, big dog? I saw you putting the one up like you're in the bloodline.
No, I'm going to look back right now who it was.
Oh, for ARC? Yeah, let us know who that was.
This is awful.
Oh, so technically, I mean, you had two pretty equal running backs in your second spot, but it would have been either Kamara or James Cook.
It was James Cook. That's right.
Yeah, those.
It was James Cook because I thought he was going to catch a lot of passes, and you're not going to believe this.
Yeah,
I benched him in the biggest game he had all year long.
Remember what game it was?
And when I tell you how big of a game it was, you're not even going to believe it. This is one that you don't live down. Now I think I must have survived it at some point, but I think it was. It had to be.
Oh, I think I got it. Was it the game against Dallas, AR? 25 yes, for a home. $1.79?
When they beat Dallas 31-10.
He went crazy.
He went for 180.
He went crazy.
How many touchdowns? Did he have?
He had two. He had a catching touchdown and a rushing touchdown. He had two catches, it looks like, for 42 and a touchdown. So two and, chunk plays
and
there.
He was on my bench with a $1.80. Now, I did take some pride in drafting Kamara. A lot of people let him slide. He wasn't going to play, and I think he turned out okay. But yeah,
those are the worst Sunday nights going into Monday mornings when you have that guy and that amount of points just on your bench after you stressed about it.
I do think that Beamer had the worst bench day of any season we've ever had. Remember that, CB? How many points he had on his bench?
Let me look back.
When you hear this story,
I remember.
You'll vomit.
I remember.
If you were him, I'm not talking about one guy.
No,
I'm talking about the amount of points he had on his bench.
Yeah, I remember. I remember us talking about it.
And it goes back to I'd rather have no decisions than too many.
Yeah, and by the way, Dallas added another running back, Ray Davis from Kentucky. So you might want to stay away from Cook this year.
Oh no! I'm done with.
We're kind of leaving the world of
which Cook.
Well, Dalvin's not even in the league right
now. Yeah, right.
We're kind of leaving this world of the horses at running back. Like they're rare. They're rare. There aren't that many of them.
They're different types of. They're more. They're combo guys, right? You want to get guys that can catch passes. It's the Bijans. It's the Jahmyr Gibbs. You're right. It's not the 30 carry. It's not the, the trailer guys. I mean, the big dudes you can just latch on and go.
I mean, to me, it's only CMC, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, yeah.
I mean, and once you start getting past those guys, maybe Saquon and Philly this year, where I feel like, okay, I have the guy, you know, in the running back room. Breece Hall still waiting, CMO, Bijan, that got a little funky last year. I know Arthur Smith's in Pittsburgh now, but yeah, man, I don't know if we're ever going to really go back to the world of there's 10, 12 horses at the running back position around the NFL. It's smart. I get it.
I'd have to go back and see, like, what is the mass carry for a guy in a season? Because
total carries? Yeah.
Yeah, because the days of a guy getting 350 to 375 carries, like Derrick Henry was getting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many carries did Derrick Henry have past season?
This past season? I can find that for you real quick.
Because they probably didn't get to 300, and he was approaching 400 in his career.
So Derrick Henry finished second in the league in rushing yards, and I need to his attempts were 280.
Okay. So that's probably about 100 less than his high.
And that was first in the league. 280 last year.
Oh, it was first in the
league.
Okay.
Last season.
Well, then you're right. There's no real horse. Now, they play 17 games now. And
that's why we don't have the horses. That's why.
They just can't. They can't make it all the way. I mean, those guys played all the game. I mean, I think Derek played in every game. So it's not. I mean, that's an amazing feat that he could do that. But yeah, the Christian McCaffreys, Derrick Henry. I think Bijan will be really high this year in fantasy. Barkley, we'll see. I wonder where we're going to go with Najee this year, based on now he has a new quarterback. And
well, Mm-hmm. He kind of Warren's no slouch.
I know.
You know, Warren, you got to give him his work too. The sleeper that could be a horse. I'm saying this, and I know they just drafted a running back, so it's probably wrong. But Kyren Williams last year was a monster. He finished third in the league in rushing yards and only played in 12 games, but they just drafted Blake Corum. So that's probably cooked.
Yeah, and you draft CMC because you have to if you're sitting one, but you realize he's going to get dinged. He's going to be injured. There's going to be a time where he's going to be out for a little bit.
He only missed a game last year.
Yeah,
that was surprising because to your point, though, in Carolina, there were those years to where he was missing time.
Yeah, you still have to have him.
Yep.
Like if you're picking number one overall in fantasy right now in any kind of PPR or half PPR, I don't want to steer you away from receivers. I get it. I can't do it myself. Like, but I would tell you that Tyreek was an absolute beast and still is. But I just don't think I could grab a receiver over CMC right now. Could you? You're picking one right now. You're on the clock.
You could talk me into
Turn in the car.
You could talk me into Justin Jefferson.
With McCarthy?
Yeah, you could talk me into. He's that good.
I think the safer pick would be Chase if I'm going.
He's that good to me. Justin Jefferson.
I know.
Either one of those
rookie
guys.
Rookie quarterback? I'm named J.J. McCarthy.
I'm standing on it.
This is music to my ears. I can't trust that right now. I'd rather take Tyreek Hill if I'm taking a receiver. All right, there
JJ.
All right, let's hope Maddie gets. Let's hope you get the number one pick.
And I'll be loving life when he's cooking everybody like he's been doing the last few.
Without years. Kirk, without cousin Kirk.
I'm telling you, man, the dude's built different. This is your guy. You know,
no,
I'm not
know,
telling you anything you don't know.
Let me pull Giselle out here. My husband can't catch the ball and throw it at the same time.
I will be highly, highly shocked if Justin Jefferson isn't a top three receiver in fantasy next year.
Top three receiver in
fantasy. So finishing amongst the top three wide receivers in fantasy.
I might take that bet.
Justin Jefferson's still
in
getting
fantasy.
That done. He's still getting that
I'll
done.
Tell you what. You give me the...
It's the amount of three. Targets, man. It's the targets are going to be through the roof for him.
CD,
and he's gonna
Tyreek.
Capitalize.
Jamar, Amon-Ra, A.J. Brown.
Nah. Still, I mean.
Puka. I'm telling you, I'm taking that bet. It's a fun little offseason bet.
Did I sign up for this bet, or are you guys signing up?
Well, I just thought it was fun. I mean, we didn't put our lives on it here. I just thought that was fun. You said he'd be top three in fantasy, and I said he won't. It's a great mental hedge for me, though. Because if he is, I'd be happy to pay you. It's a beautiful mental hedge. All right, so you have the odds for the mock for 2025?
Yeah, well, for the first overall pick is what I'm looking at here. I think you know who the... Well, do you know who the leader in the clubhouse is?
Well, it's got to be a quarterback, right?
Maybe.
Well, here's why I say that. And I went and looked at who's going to be... Who would most likely be picking at the top next year? Because I think that's what you really have to look at if you're going to decide who's the number one pick. And I started thinking, all right, Carolina, no. They're not going to need a quarterback. Tennessee, maybe. Pats, no. Washington, no. Denver, no. The Giants, probably. Maybe they would take one. Arizona, no. Raiders, yeah. Saints, they got Rattler.
It's a big year. Yeah, it's a big year for Derek Carr, too, though.
Seattle.
Maybe.
Vikes? No. Like, see, this is what you have to decide. Are the worst teams going to be quarterback desperate?
You would be right to follow your gut in that the leader in the clubhouse for the projected number one overall pick is a quarterback, and it's Shedeur Sanders at 5-2 right now, followed by Carson Beck and then Quinn Ewers. Carson Beck's 4-1, then Quinn Ewers is 5-1.
But here's the deal. Of all these teams I mentioned, they could be really bad, won't need a quarterback. So either they're going to trade that pick or make pick a non quarterback.
Right.
Is there a non-quarterback that will be deserving of being number one?
For me, a guy that's on this list that I think has decent value at 22-1 is Harold Perkins from LSU. 2 years ago as a freshman, he lit up the SEC, getting after the quarterback. And then last year, they kind of moved him kind of do a stand-up linebacker. He didn't get to do that. I hope they go back to that, because if he can put his hand on the ground and just hunt quarterbacks, I think Harold Perkins has a chance to be that guy. Like an elite pass rusher off the board at number one overall. So a 22-1, I like that value for him.
Where's JT? Is he on that list?
Yeah, he's on this list.
Is he really?
33-1.
Okay. And I'm only going on what I said before, which is if one of these bad teams has to pick again, they won't take a quarterback.
Yeah. I'll tell you else who I like here is Drew Aller, too, at 12-1.
Where'd you say Quinn Ewers was?
He is third in line at 5-1. 5-1.
I could see that. Now, the race between he and Shadur, that would be amazing.
I just think Drew Aller at 12-1, he has the intangibles, five-star prospect, 6'5", 240. Got a long way to go, but I think if he balls out this year with the skill set and his frame, I think they're going to fall in love with Drew Aller.
He's got to make a massive comeback here in just his own play, his own hype.
He was 25 TDs and two interceptions last year. That's not bad. It just wasn't really anything explosive. Like, so I'm hoping they take the reins off of him. If they do that, and
if he starts hitting,
yeah, shout out to the Tribal Chief. Yeah, CB and I throwing up the ones right now. If he starts popping off big plays downfield, I think that's the type of guy they'll fall in love with.
He's got, by the way, they have Maddie, whatever their murderer's row is going to be. I don't know how good these teams will be. In mid-October, at USC. Then a bye week at Wisconsin, home against the Buckeyes, home against Washington.
That's how you become the number one pick.
Through that murderer's row and play really well and look good and lead your
team. That's how you do it. So just 12-1 outside of the favorites. I like Drew Aller.
All right. By the way, your proclamation on Justin Jefferson may get some help here in the next segment because we got a guy who's claiming pretty boldly that one quarterback will be starting sooner than later. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here at the Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rockman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, Bet365 time.
Yes, sir, because at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. You got your eye on anything tonight?
I looked at Maddie during the break, and I said, can I be this stupid again? Do I dare do anything on the Cleveland Cavaliers team?
Oh, man.
They have taken my soul and a lot of the bank account the last 2 days. Now, Orlando is 1-7 straight up in their last 8 road games against Cleveland. I mean, they're 0-6 against the spread in the last 6 roadies. Cleveland is so bad against the spread in their last like 18-20 games. It's probably one you definitely stay away from. But I will tell you this. If I bet on the Cavs, they'll lose. If I don't, they'll win. That's just how the cosmic betting world works.
Trust the process.
Works.
You better let them know.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
Can we find me something in this game to make a little coin on?
Oh, I'm not messing with this game. I was in the baseball world.
A player prop or something that you could help me with.
Well,
some kind of milestone. How about, Maddie, you love that first basket of the game. Do they still offer that?
Oh, yeah, that's still available.
That way you're either done.
Heavy juice on that tonight for all of these guys. Obviously, that's super hard to predict.
It is, but you've done such a good job. Oh, player to score first basket of the game. Donovan Mitchell, 5-1. Jared Allen, 5-1. Evan Mobley, 7-1. Banchero, 7-1 for Orlando. Garland, 7.5-1. Franz Wagner at 8-1.
See, they
Max Strus at 10-1.
Well, that's the guy. They like to run that set for him to get a little quick three ball going for Max Strus.
A little Strusel, 10-1. Let's do it.
I'm not signing off on that today.
No, I'm just saying it's low risk, high reward.
Okay,
that's
so you're
what
going
I
Max
need tonight.
I got you. I'm going to baseball. Guardians are back in action tonight. They're in H-Town kicking it with Travis Scott. And I'm looking at Jose Ramirez. Jose, Jose, Jose. And I'm looking at his total bases. at 1.5 tonight, with the juice being +110, and I'm rolling with Jay Ram. We hit last night on the Lodolo case. He crushed that for us. He was at 5.5 Ks. I took the over at +100. He had 11 Ks in the game. So I'm staying in the baseball world. I'll let you deal with the NBA tonight. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Say what you want about J.J. McCarthy, whether he's worth the pick or not. The Vikings didn't have to move and mortgage everything to get him. So if he was their guy, at least they didn't pay that premium to get him, whether it was 3 or 5. You know, the surprise pick of Michael Penix pushed McCarthy into that reasonable price range for the Vikes. So the Vikes got McCarthy without having to give up the 23rd overall pick. That's probably a win. That's the pick they acquired from Houston in the pre-draft trade. And then they traded back up again in round one and added Dallas Turner. But this is going to be really interesting because the Vikings seemed very comfortable with J.J. McCarthy as their quarterback of the future. And they didn't overpay to land him. So that's a nice little selling point for themselves. But here we are, waiting on whether J.J. and he has everything he needs to at least look decent this year. Here's Dan Orlovsky on the big hype that he believes around J.J.
How quickly can he be the guy to take them to the next level?
Yeah, I think minimum October, Greeny. You know, he's going to step in and know formations and shifts and the verbiage of this offense. He's custom made to go in and play at a high level. I think October, he's their starting quarterback. And I think because of his play and also what's around him, I really believe he should play himself into the offensive rookie of the year conversation. Caleb Williams is probably the leader, now that I think about it, more so because of what's around him as far as the expectation of that. But I think J.J. McCarthy is essentially neck and neck with Caleb Williams at the end of the season for that award.
That's a bold claim there, because obviously he is going to be in the running for the award because he's going to have a chance here to be the quarterback with a lot of weapons. So I don't mind the value. By the way, the value on him right now for offensive rookie of the year, 11-1. I actually think that's good value. I think Jaden Daniels is probably where I'd rather have my money based on the fact of how many amazing highlights he'll probably have with his feet. Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, is a decent value at 6-1. Caleb is going to get the chance to be the guy, but I think J.J.'s definitely a value play for offensive rookie of the year. Drake May's going to sit. Xavier Worthy might have a shot if he's the go-to guy for Mahomes at times, if he has some electric yards after the catch. By the way, he's being offered at 16-1. Brock Bowers with the Raiders, I don't think I would touch him. It's probably why he's being offered at 20-1. You see anybody else that you like for offensive rookie of the year?
I haven't pulled it up. I guess I can pull it up here.
You ask me, I'll tell you.
I was just going to talk a little bit, because I know you guys didn't like my kind of Justin Jefferson claim that he could still hold down the fort with J.J. McCarthy and maybe be a top three guy. I look at a guy like D.J. Moore last year. D.J. Moore, I mean, this guy was attached to one of the worst offenses, passing offenses, in the league and still finish in the top 6 in receiving yards. And I think obviously Justin Jefferson is a much better player than DJ Moore, and he's going to get more consistent quarterback play than what DJ Moore got last year. So that's why I'm still all in on Justin Jefferson, just because of the space he's going to create, the amount of targets that are going to come his way. But when it comes to rookie of the year, I mean, it's hard to really go up against any of those guys. Like, it really is. And for JJ McCarthy, the structure around him, the weaponry around him, and what I think he can do with his legs as well, is going to have him solely in the mix to probably bring that home, that award home. And Minnesota's probably going to win more games, I would think, than Washington. So I could see it definitely coming down to Caleb and JJ.
I like him at 11-1.
Yeah,
I do.
Me too.
Now, if Sam Darnold holds him off for a little bit and he isn't the starting quarterback till Dan says in October, that's going to hurt me.
Right.
That's going to hurt me a lot. And I do, by the way, I totally agree that he's a major, major talent. And to your credit, you start looking at the targets over the years in the NFL with guys that didn't have great quarterbacks. Davante Adams, 175 targets. Garrett Wilson. Rodgers went down right away. Garrett Wilson had 168 targets last year on a team that really didn't have a quarterback. Trying to think who else would have been in there. Pittman was dealing with different quarterbacks. Right. He had 156 targets. Yeah.
And it's just the at bats you get with a guy like Justin Jefferson. I got the odds in front of me now. What do you think of Ladd McConkey at 25-1 attached to Herbert as the potential to be maybe their wide receiver one as a rookie? As far as value goes,
it's just hard to win it over a quarterback.
Yeah.
And if we know that Caleb is going to be the guy the entire year, and Jaden's going to be the guy the entire year, McCarthy maybe for the bulk of the year, then we're dealing with a little bit of an issue. Bo Nix going to be the guy right away?
Ooh.
I feel like it. We'll have to ask Daigle about that.
Ooh, yeah,
because he's being offered a 20-1. Mm-hmm. All right, those are your pre-snap reads for today. We'll come back with John Daigle, our fantasy guru, and we'll get him to establish who he likes rookie of the year wise in fantasy. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, back at it with our guy, John Daigle. Establish the Run, which is the big-time quality fantasy football content that we demand and that we need. And John, nice enough to spend a few minutes with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. All right, Johnny, welcome back. Good to have you.
Appreciate you having me back on. Just glad to be cleared from those hectic 3 days that y'all just experienced.
No doubt. Let me ask you about, we just got done talking about Ladd McConkey to the Chargers and whether this is a fantasy fit that we can fall in love with immediately, because if he steps in, he could be right now the best separator they would have on this roster. Quentin Johnston, we've been waiting on. Josh Palmer, he's solid, but who knows? Where do you like McConkey here? Is he a great fit right now for fantasy?
Usually after the first round, I really start looking at the opportunity that rookies walk into, because that's when, of course, their draft capital depreciates a hair after night one. And Ladd McConkey, at least as we know, did have first round grades by a couple teams. He just had some red medical flags that popped up with a knee injury suffered late in the year. But overall, it is a good spot. As you mentioned, it's a very light depth chart for competition. Quentin Johnston, of course, failed as a rookie last year. And although I do think Josh Palmer is a pretty good player, he'll probably be serviceable as a wide receiver 3 or 4 come redraft league time. The fact is, he's on the last year of his deal, and he's not part of the regime that brought him on to begin with under Harbaugh. And so I do think if you look around and ask who do they have the most faith in right now on that depth chart, I do think it's McConkey. So I'm not sure how he'll fare from the slot in the early going, the first month of the season, but I bet he's a player that we'll have confidence in down the second half of the stretch.
Let's talk about some of these rookie running backs and maybe a couple landing spots that you like in the fantasy world that you think can be impactful in year one.
It's very hard for running back this year, admittedly, just because the NFL already told us during free agency what they think about a lot of these guys. Like, it wasn't just the big contracts like Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. Remember, DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard were the first two running backs to be signed at all. Whereas, go back to last offseason, and no one wanted to sign running backs. And I think that's literally because of what everyone thought of this particular running back class and just the way the position's going right now. But the two confident spots are the guys everyone's talking about. Both Jonathan Brooks, who does profile as a three-down option, if he does take over that spot in Carolina, which quite honestly isn't too hard. Miles Sanders, of course, is, probably going to start at the back end of the depth chart. But remember, whenever Chuba Hubbard took over for a few starts at the second half of the season, he was also as inefficient as Miles Sanders in that starting role. So I bet we see Brooks pop up. And then, of course, it's Trey Benson for the Cardinals. And the good news, at least for Trey Benson, is that James Conner, although he's been an absolute monster when healthy, the fact is he hasn't been healthy. He literally hasn't stayed healthy for a full season and his entire career so far. So I bet we'll be hearing a lot about Trey Benson, more so than others come September and October in the winter months.
If I have my receiver board ready, John, and I'm asking you where I should have Marvin Harrison Jr. ranked, where would you have him?
For dynasty leagues, it is going to be the 101, 102, but for redraft leagues, which all of us participate in, it's still early. Even like the high-stakes stuff hasn't opened yet, but for my early research just this past week, I do think we're probably going to see him as a third, fourth-round player. Again, just like we talked about with McConkey, except without the first-round draft capital, without, of course, the collegiate resume as well. But Harrison walks into an amazing situation with a healthy Kyler Murray now. We saw Drew Petzig, offensive coordinator for the Cardinals, really scheme up some impressive plays. I thought he was more impressive, personally, than Bobby Slowick's offensive play card, too. Slowick just had C.J. Stroud to bail him out every single week. So I'm excited for Marvin Harrison Jr. with Kyler Murray, a full season of Trey McBride. I think the Cardinals offense can mess around and be a really fun unit this year.
Is Diggs going to kind of tank in the draft a little bit based on the competition that he's walking into? Or like, where would you have Stephon Diggs being drafted now amongst receivers?
I don't know if he'll tank so much. I think he's probably going to be an end of third round, fourth round guy. I think he's just going to be used entirely different. In PPR leagues, doesn't necessarily mean a negative for him. I imagine we're going to see him used over the middle of the field quite often for shallower routes to get upfield for yards after the catch. But that also is going to make him a catch monster. Nico Collins, of course, we saw his breakout at the end of the year whenever Tank Dell got injured, but he's still more of an outside boundary receiver for deep targets. And of course, Tank Dell, we know how they use him in motion and all over the field. So I think Diggs actually is still going to lead that team in catches just by how they're going to use him to continue moving the chain. So I still like Diggs at what we're projecting to be his ADP right now.
So we've got Zeke back in Dallas. Hit us with your take on his fantasy value and just that running back depth chart for the Cowboys.
So the lone rule for running backs, mid-round running backs, I should say, in fantasy, is to just not put guys in buckets they don't belong in. If you didn't learn your lesson, for example, from Mike Davis with the Falcons, Chase Edmonds with the Dolphins, last year Alexander Mattison with the Vikings, then you may just never learn your lesson. But Rico Dowdle for the Cowboys is that guy who everyone's already touting as a top 100 pick, despite the fact that he does not belong in that bucket of guys who we should be drafting in the mid rounds because he's just never profiled or received the opportunity to be a 250 touchback. And so I admittedly wanted to sell myself and Ezekiel Elliott, since Elliott was a workhorse for the Patriots over the final month of the season. But then I went back and researched the data, and this is the whole point of researching, not just coming to a conclusion, because Zeke was terrible. He was miserable for the Patriots last year. He got his fantasy points literally just from catches and then did nothing with those catches. He was just piling them on. And so, honestly, I'm not sure the back who's going to lead this team in touches is even on the roster just yet. I would say I bet on them using Zeke from experience over Dowdle right now, but I still think perhaps Miles Sanders, Damian Pierce, someone like that could be cut, and the Cowboys could swoop in down the road.
All right, let me get a quick one out of here. We had a conversation earlier. In your mind, with Justin Jefferson being attached to most likely J.J. McCarthy this year, would you draft Justin Jefferson in the top three amongst receivers this year?
Absolutely not. And it's crazy to say that, I know, given his talent, but there's a lot of whiplash coming for this offense. Remember, last year the splits were so skewed just because T.J. Hockenson in and out from Josh Dobbs, Nick Mullins, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison now healthy as well. This is not the year to bet on the Vikings passing offense, especially after they were historically great. 81% of the touchdowns came through the air. That's a number that regresses annually. So be very cautious with the Vikings passing offense in year one with McCarthy.
Yeah. I'm cautious every year as a Viking fan, no matter what they have. All right, my man. Great job. Thanks, John. We'll talk again soon.
Of course. We'll talk very soon.
Yep. John Daigle with us, fantasy expert. Establish the Run is the site. Definitely check it out.
And guess what?
Yeah.
I'm still taking Justin Jefferson.
There's no science to fantasy.
I'm still taking him.
Do it, man. And hopefully you'll be picking above us. All right. I want to tell the guys out there that it's time for you to get your T-level tested because you've been thinking about it, you're curious about it, and it's the best time to do it. It's $25 at Low T Center. And you can get your T-level tested. They'll get you the results back in 25 minutes. So they'll make it really easy. All you have to do is go to lowtcenter.com now and book your appointment. and then you're set. The hurdle is cleared. Go get your numbers. If you've been feeling tired, you can't get going, you kind of just drop out in the afternoon, you've gained some weight, you've lost some muscle, it could all be signs of low T. Find out. Don't wait. They'll make it easy. Like I said, it's not your typical doctor's office. You're not going to wait there a long time. And the experts at Low T Center have over a decade of experience. They've helped all sorts of patients, life-changing results. Most health insurance is accepted for treatment. So get on it. I'll keep trying to hype you up for it because I believe in it. I've got my levels tested. I think there's power in the numbers. Stop guessing. Go to lowtcenter.com now. Book your appointment. Low T Center, reinventing men's health care. We'll come back. Tell the Truth is next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree draft beer.
All right, CB, take us home.
All right, one day when I look up on this website, the National Day of Today, I hope to see National Hockey and Hounds Day. It hasn't happened yet, but this is a close second for today because it's National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day. I wrote down an original question to this, and I think I'm going to change it a little bit because I want AR's perspective on it. What is the best part of adopting a shelter animal?
The best part is that you will embark on a journey, no pun intended, with an animal that will change your life perspective and give you fulfillment that you never thought was possible. Aside from that, no big deal. I think it's the coolest thing ever, and I understand they don't last long enough, but I'm telling you, the years you have, everyone will tell you. And the other part about it is if you've never had an animal, when you get one, you'll have what they call like this aha moment. You're like, oh, so that's what everyone has been saying. And so I'm not here to tell you. By the way, if your lifestyle is not ready for one or your home isn't ready for one, you got to know this isn't a potted plant. You don't water it and leave it. It's not if it's when things are going to happen. But that's the thing, that you just have to have an idea of when you bring a pet into your home, make sure that you're ready for that and all the responsibilities come with it, and you'll be rewarded times 100. So I didn't know it was National Adoptive Shelter Pet Day.
Well, the original question was, did you even know it existed?
No, because there are so many days like this, Maddie, and I like them, but if you did them all the time, then you wouldn't be raising the same awareness and get lost in the shovel.
Yeah.
So I know why they do this. Okay, today's this day, today's that day, because you're just trying to raise awareness for the millions of animals that are waiting for forever homes and shelters across this fine country. And I'll say this, my last thing I'll say is, you know, anyone that's willing to take a pet into their lives for 10, 15 years or more, that's the most selfless thing you can do. It's awesome. But if you're willing to do that, go to a rescue, go to a shelter. Like the pile this big for breeders we have, they're never going to run out, unfortunately. But there's many animals, cats, dogs, living in a cage right now that would love a forever home, and you can provide that and be their hero. That's kind of how I put it. Just, you can be a hero to an animal right now.
You calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you a truther.
I'm going to drop off three of them at Maddie's place.
There we go.
This weekend.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
Maybe
for
you just be
guy.
A foster. We'll just, you know, you can just foster an animal, you know. And
watch it on the weekends. Can I get that done? Is that how that works? Coming over, Uncle Maddie.
You can have
for the
custody.
Weekend.
A custody on the weekends.
All right. So after draft weekend, it doesn't even take more than maybe like 15 minutes before you see a way too early mock draft for the following season, with it being 2025 next year. I want to ask you this question to tell the truth. When is the most appropriate time to see the next season's mock draft? Is it like right around now, or are you okay waiting until the season starts?
You can drop a mock draft 30 minutes after the seventh round, and I'm ready to go for the next year. I love mock drafts. It's a nice framework for me to just keep an eye on the upcoming year. Who are the guys? Who could be some sleepers, some risers? I love mock drafts. It's never the end-all, be-all, but in my world, CB, it's never too soon for a mock, man.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different in that. I would say the week after the Super Bowl, I'm ready to go. That's probably it. This seems to be a little soon
for
me.
So for you, it'll be after the Super Bowl in New Orleans, you'll be ready for the 2025 mocks?
When that confetti's dropping.
That's next right. year. Okay. And not, maybe not, the, so sooner maybe than not me. The day after.
Okay. All right, so it's pretty soon then. In the football calendar. Then
I'm waiting to the Super Bowl.
But you're saying you want the next mock draft the day after the Super Bowl, right?
For that season's draft.
He wants the 2025 mock draft after the Super Bowl down in New Orleans.
Yeah. Okay, I don't need anything more than that.
Confused, but okay.
So think about if the Super Bowl is, let's call it early February. So I'd want it about I'd want it 2.5 months before the draft.
Gotcha. Okay. I got you.
The truth? It's overrated.
Basically, what he's saying is take your early mock drafts and throw them in the trash. He does not care. All right. The next question is the Daily Fan Poll. It's sponsored by ER Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft. The question is, what team will LeBron James play for next season? Ooh. Will it be those Lakers, the Cavaliers, another team, or retired?
My expert is sitting to my right.
No, I'm not an expert on anything in life. I'm going to go with the Lakers. They're going to throw the money at him. What I want to happen, CB, is for him to go to Philly. I want him to go to Philly. I saw your hand moving. Don't fire up the music just yet. I know what you were about to play. He's never coming back home except for when they give him, you know, the ultimate ceremony and all that stuff. I'm going with the Lakers. He's staying in La La Land 2 to 3 more years.
I think this is a tough one because I want, as I said earlier, I want to follow the sun, the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. And I want to find out what Bronny's going to do. Is he coming out of the draft? Is he going to transfer? Is he staying in the draft?
Yeah.
Because I think that's it for me. I think he's at a point now where that's really, really important. I'm outside of trying to win a title. It feels like, the $51 million L.A., I think he wants to stay in L.A. The Lakers have already said, we'll do you a solid. We'll draft the kid. We'll reach for the kid, whatever you need.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on the Lakers.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
All right, our final question might be a layup, but if you believe in a different rookie quarterback, then you would obviously say otherwise. But which rookie quarterback do you believe throws the most touchdown passes in 2024?
Boy, I like the situations that Jaden and JJ are in. However, and you worry about the entire team that's going to protect Jaden Daniels. You're talking about throwing them, not running for them. So I'm going to go with the odds-on favorite, Caleb Williams, I would believe is the favorite. And I'll go with him. He's got the targets. He's got the team. And they're going to need him to play big right away. So I'm going with Caleb
Williams. Yeah, that's a good one. I'll go with J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Why the heck not? I've been doubling down on Justin Jefferson all day. I'm going to triple down. What is it, triple stamp that double stamp?
That's right.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Give me J.J. McCarthy.
And the truth shall set you free.
If you miss Patrick Murphy talking Buckeyes, our guy Jeff Risden talking all things NFL draft, and John Daigle with a little fantasy football tips there wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you.
All right. Can I get to an eye doctor appointment in, let's see, what do we got, Maddie? 24 minutes in Westerville from here.
I'm going to say no.
The police escort, maybe.
Unless you're driving 100, riding dirty like a millionaire.
It's not that important. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Common Man and Tebow next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Cleveland Cavaliers have a huge Game 5 tonight with the Orlando Magic. Cleveland's a 4.5-point favorite and -200 on the money line. Magic are +166 to pull off the first road win of the series. Cavs still the series favorite at -175. Cavs in 7 games is +190. The favorite to be the correct outcome of this series. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan Sports Center.
And I'm Timmy Hall. The Buckeye men's basketball team is still looking to solidify its 2024-25 squad. They've missed out on a couple key targets recently. That was Trey Townsend, and recently Central Arkansas's Tucker Anderson. So they've got two scholarships to give out still. Felix Okpara, he's at Tennessee. That was a shocking departure. He tells Adam Jardy of the Dispatch that it wasn't much to do with Aaron Bradshaw, the Kentucky commit. Felix felt that once he posted that graphic saying he was returning, that everyone else started leaving. He said he didn't feel he made the best decision for himself. Baseball, Reds versus the Pods. Game two of the three-game set is tonight at Petco Park. That's at 9:40. Guardians start a three-game series versus the Stros in Houston, 8:10 first pitch. And in the NBA, Cavs and Magic knotted up two games apiece. Cleveland will host game five tonight at 8 o'clock. This one is sponsored by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at Nature Stone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.